Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our 9 o'clock service. That's all right. The Lord's here, whatever the time may be. But anyway, well, praise the Lord. I confess I woke up this morning absolutely certain I didn't have anything and that the Lord had other plans, and I'm still willing if someone really feels like they got something. Okay, well, guess what? We're going to have to go by faith. Imagine that. Yeah. Well, I did have a thought just to go to a passage of Scripture as a starting point, and I don't know have any idea how long this is going to be, so let's just look to the Lord. And, you know, last week, I believe it was, we talked about, you know, who are you really? That is, to what is our identity? And we all know that we have an identity that we develop as we grow up in this world, who we think we are, who other people think we are, what we are. And the Lord calls a people out of this present world of darkness to be a part of His kingdom. And it changes our identity. And what we realize, what we come to realize is that He's planned that from before the foundation of the world. He knew about us. And He called us who have been called. And it's not just a matter of calling us to a religion or a lifestyle. It's a matter of a brand new life that is born on the inside. And that's the life that He wants us to grow up and live. And that becomes our identity. But we also know that while we're living here, we have these two identities kind of fighting for their way, don't we? And so that is kind of where Paul goes with the truth that he's sharing, particularly in Ephesians. That's often where we go, and we talk about who we are in Christ. We're chosen, we're redeemed, we're, you know, bought with a price, and all of that, all of the awesome things that God has done and how He sees us as opposed to how we see ourselves. We so often are stuck in our temporary identity and not really learning how to live out the permanent one. And, you know, it's a mixed up world. You've got people that are trying to live out something they're not, and other people that are just not really living out who they really are. And so the Lord wants to take a people beyond just the revelation of what He's done, which is incredible. And that was what got Paul up in the morning and allowed him to serve the Lord regardless of whether he was persecuted or imprisoned. And he was imprisoned when he wrote this. And his heart wasn't sitting there thinking about what a miserable time I'm having in prison. His heart was back with the people that he had sought to bring to the truth and to make that truth real. And of course, we know from often it's been emphasized that it's not just a matter of who we are, it's how we live that out. Because what difference is it if we are something but we don't actually live that out in practice? And so Paul will often, at the beginning of one of his letters, he will lay out who we are and what God has done for us, but then it always moves into, okay, now what? How do we live? And of course, I was thinking about the beginning of chapter 4 of Ephesians, and then my mind had to jump back, because in chapter 4, Paul begins with, okay, what do we do? We know who we are, but what do we do? But before you get to that, you really got to answer the question, how do we do it? How in the world do we actually live this thing out? Is it just a matter of us gearing up our strength and doing it? Of course, we know that's not the case. But that's what Paul wants the believers to know before he really dives in and says, this is what the new life looks like. How do we get there? Anybody need that this morning? Yeah, you fight those battles and you wonder how in the world, you know, Debbie was talking about the trials that we face and the situations that look too big for God. And that's certainly one of the devil's tactics is to just present this, here's what I'm supposed to be. Oh my God, that's totally impossible. Look at what I'm struggling with. Look at the circumstances. Look at all these other things instead of getting our eyes on what the Lord wants us to be looking at. Okay? So Paul has been talking about the amazing gospel, the mystery that God had hidden In all the Old Testament, God was telling everybody what he was going to do, but he couched it in terms that could not be understood by study. Would be that theologians understood that and looked at the Old Testament from the standpoint of the New Covenant that is the fulfillment of everything God said back there. That's, you know, Paul saw the Old Testament through Jewish eyes, didn't he? Until God opened his eyes and suddenly he saw, oh, there's a mystery there. Let's find out what that's really about. Is God's going to call the real children of Abraham to himself and then take them and through them he's going to spread this eternal covenant, the knowledge of his eternal plan, not just to Jews but to everybody. Praise God. And he's still doing that, isn't he? All right. So anyway, it's hard to know where to pick this up. He talks about the mystery. Verse 11, according to his eternal purpose, that he accomplished. What's the tense of that verb? That's past tense, isn't it? That's done. Okay? That he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in him. That's where everything is that we need is, isn't it? It's in him. In him and through faith in him. So where is it? How do you get it? Okay? It's all in him, but we get it by believing. There's an active faith that doesn't just say, yeah, I believe that with my head, but I'm facing a need, a situation in my life, and what I need to be doing is actively trusting him for the resources that I need to handle it, to handle life, okay? So in him and through faith in him, what? We may approach God with freedom and confidence. Let that settle in. You know, we look at the weaknesses in ourselves. We look at so many aspects of life on earth as Christians. And how do you feel when you go to God and you've messed up? Anybody here feel freedom and confidence? No, you see, a lot of times we're focused on the need. We're focused on the lack. We're focused on how we messed up and we need him. The Lord wants us to know that we can come with freedom and confidence. Now, that's not a spirit of presumption that thinks, oh, it's okay, it's all taken care of, I don't have to worry. No, this is, I can actually go to him with this. He knew all about this before he undertook the problem of saving me or the job of saving me. He knew all about my needs. He knew what he was getting into. Not saying anything we haven't said, but I need this morning. How about you? Yeah, we need to be reminded of these simple truths. And so as freedom, I can freely go to him. I don't have to somehow qualify myself and grovel and beg. I can come and just come before his throne. Think about what Hebrews says. There's a place where we can go with confidence, with boldness, it says in one translation, to the throne. And where do I get at that throne? Grace. And what is grace? God, yeah, it's unmerited favor. It's God's power at work, God's unmerited power at work in to save unworthy sinners. I need that. I don't just need it to get me in. I need it to carry me through the journey. And so what God is doing is saying, because of what Jesus did, not because of who you are and what you have done and your daily performance, you still have the freedom to come there and get what you need. Well, I need stuff this morning. How about you? There's a whole lot that we need every single day. If we understood, that's the way it is. I mean, you think about what Jesus talked about when he said that we're the vine and the branches. Where does a branch get what it needs? How often does it do that? All the time. There is a living connection where life that is in the vine is flowing into the branches. That's what I need. So this is a day-to-day, moment-by-moment thing where God wants my focus to be on who I really am And how I actually live that out, and then, of course, you can start to get into the what. What does that mean? How do I actually live it out in that sense? Okay? In Him, all right, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Don't look at Paul and say, oh, my God. That's what it costs. I don't want it. Paul wasn't focused on his sufferings. He was focused on all the rest. Well, what did he say? While we look not at the things which are seen, because they're temporary, but the things that are unseen, they're permanent. Praise God. It's hard when we live in a sense-driven world that we can see and touch and smell and all of those things to realize what's real. And what God wants us to learn how to get our focus on in a practical sense, because having an identity is wonderful. Living it out, knowing how that works, is a whole different ballgame, isn't it? And that's what the Lord longs to share with us. Okay? So Paul's going to pray, isn't he? He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That's the source of all and everything. We have one who's over all. That's our Father in heaven. Praise God. All right? So let's go to Him. Let's go to the top. You talk about where you're going to go? This is not some district court. This is the throne room of heaven. Every believer, that's you, that's me, every believer has the right to go to the throne room of heaven. As we feel our needs day by day, don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let the devil fill you so full of what's happening out there and what your lack is that you're afraid to go. May God give us that sense that we can do that. Do you sense Paul's spirit in this? Is he wanting to discourage and lay blockades in the way of people's confidence? No, he wants us, everyone, to have that same confidence that we can go. And so he's praying. And he's praying, let's see what he prays. I pray that out of His glorious riches. Now, how much is that? How much does he have? Has he got enough? You know, we think in terms of earthly resources and riches that some people depend on and live on. And, of course, some people are, most of us, I think, can very easily get beyond our means. We spend more than we have, or we've wasted here, and all of a sudden we need to go to the bank and there's nothing there. This is one bank that never runs out. He doesn't need a president to borrow money to spend. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to get into that. This is resources that go beyond everything you could ever imagine. The devil would portray everything in the world to get our eyes off of the fact that he has everything we would ever need for his purpose to be fulfilled forever. Otherwise, he wouldn't say it was complete. Wouldn't say that we're complete in him. We have everything we need in him. Boy, I hope I'm listening to this. Praise God. I'm going to get encouraged here in a minute. I pray that out of his glorious riches, so there's a bank account in heaven that has got all anybody could ever need, out of that, he may strengthen you. Anybody here need strength this morning? Yeah, we all feel our weakness. And, you know, we tend to think that's a bad thing. But I wonder how often we need to step back and say, wait a minute, Lord, it's a good thing. It's wonderful that I feel my weakness, because your purpose, if I'm going to live out my new identity, I don't get the strength to do that from me. And if you leave me to myself, that's what I'll depend on. Amen. And that's never going to do the job. And so I have got to feel weak. And so, like Paul, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm weak, that it reminds me that I don't have to rely on that. That's not where it is. Okay? All right, that he may strengthen you with what? power. Boy, that comes up several times through this passage. Power. Anybody need power? Yeah. Strengthen you with power. How's that? Through his Spirit in your inner being. See, that's what it's about. The new identity brings his Spirit to live within us. I have no strength. He has all strength. He is an utter, complete resource for everything he ever calls upon me to be or to do. It's there. He is there. Praise God. And there's power. There's energy. That's kind of the word there that I believe power in that instance is the word from which, the Greek word from which we get energy. I don't feel a whole lot of energy this morning in the natural, but God has given me the energy that I really need. Praise God. We go through all kinds of peaks and valleys in our earthly experience, but there's an energy that never runs out. This battery never dries up. Okay? It's not a battery. It's an endless source of power. All right? Strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That's the one, that's where I need it. What? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. All right? Dwell is that Greek tense that is ongoing. This is a life condition. It's not just a lifestyle. This is the energy source that I need on the inside to be able to live out who I really am. Okay? It's got to come from somewhere. And he's saying that Christ is living on the inside. Didn't Paul say, it's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I need his faith. I just need him. I need him this morning. I just praise him. And Paul is just overwhelmed with the reality of this, but wanting the believers to understand, don't you just act like you're poor and helpless and always and terrible and look at all the things I'm going through. Lift up your eyes and see who has called you to be who you really are and see what he's provided for you, okay? So that we look to him, we pray, we call upon him so that Christ may dwell an ongoing habitation. He wants to live in us, in our hearts. Not just minds, but our hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, praise God. Praise God. This is not law. This is not demands in the legalistic sense. Praise God. That's the heart. That's the character of his kingdom. He's not calling you to some, I'd rather be doing something else, this, but I've got to do this because he says so. Oh, what a burden life. No, this is the ultimate source of everything. God is love. Oh, my God, help us. I believe with all my heart God longs to make the reality of his love, not just this vague, God is love, isn't that sweet? But we need to have a sense when we wake up in the morning, when we go through things in our lives, when we go to sleep at night, God actually loves me. Not just there's a beginning of that, but there's an experience, there's a sense that God actually loves me in spite of all that I am and am not. That's how he looks at me, not just, I got to put up with them again. What a miserable time I'm having putting up with them, over and over again. We go through the same. No, this is a love that's constantly, I am what you need. I have what you need. You need to be able to come to me with an inner sense that I care about you. Look at what I did for you. Measure it by the cross always. Look at the cross if you want to see how God thinks about you right here this morning. Do you really believe that God loves you? We need to ask God to say, God, reveal that to me. It's not that I'm looking for a feeling or an experience in the wrong sense. But Lord, I want to have this, I want to know the reality of what you say in this book. I believe what the book says, but that needs to be real in my experience. If I'm going to be able to live out what you've done for me. The thing that I need more than anything is to know about your love. All right? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that being rooted and established in love. Now, think about what rooting has to do with. Again, now you're talking about a plant or a tree. If a tree has problems up here, where does it get what it needs? The roots. Well, the roots better be in something that's got nutrients in it, or it's not going to do much good. Now, if your root is in the law of Moses, you got a problem, because you ain't going to get any help there. All it does is tell you what's wrong. But I'll tell you where my roots need to go. When I feel a need, what I need more of than anything else is my roots to dig down a little deeper into what? God's demands or God's love? I need power to be what he wants me to be, and I'm not going to get that from anything except the reality of his love. Oh, praise God. Rooted. Let me find where I was at. Rooted and established. Grounded, I think, it is another sense that you get. In fact, you get that in Colossians 2, I believe. But rooted and established. Established. Are you established in love this morning? Is that something that's been settled? Where it's not just that I had an experience and I felt good and then I start feeling bad and you're bouncing back and forth. But I know even when things are difficult and I'm struggling with this or with that, I know one thing. I know he loves me. I know he has what I need to bring me through this. And he's allowing even this storm that's coming up here, this need that I feel up here on the surface. I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to be. But I know that he's got what I need. And he just wants that my roots to go down a little bit more. I wonder how many times the Lord will bring us to a place of need because so that we will dig deeper into him. Where do you go when you find that need? God wants us to go freely and get exactly what we need to be who he has made us. All right? So I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. There's power again. I need to get power. Where do I get power? From God's love. Think about that. That's where my power comes from. The reality of being loved and being strengthened by that, okay? May have power together with all the Lord's people, so it's not just you privately somewhere, to grasp, to lay hold of how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Now you've got an endless reservoir of everything we could ever need to be who God has made us in Christ. It's all there. He never brings us to a circumstance that is too big for God. Exactly what Debbie was talking about. There's no such thing. Praise God. God wants us to get that, not just the information and say, oh yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, but is that real? Is that real in a practical sense in your life? It needs to be. I have need of that in a greater way this morning. That's kind of the way it works. We don't just get everything just by signing on a dotted line, as it were. We need the reality. We need to grow and learn as we grow. And Paul, that's the burden that Paul has. I want you to get this. I want you to learn this. Okay? All right? So he's talking about the dimension of the love that you and I have such need of. All right? To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And, you know, it's hard to read that and not remember the testimony of Corrie ten Boom, who suffered so many things at the hands of the Germans, the Nazis, in that German concentration camp. Terrible, incredible suffering. But she came out of that and has traveled the world with a message. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Now, that's just not theory she learned in a seminary someplace. In fact, she in that camp, she saw a lot of people wind up in the cemetery. But I'll tell you, God was faithful. She watched her sister, or saw her sister, after she passed away, lying there with a look of peace and joy on her face. God had released her from that place, and it was just a short time later she herself was released because a clerk made a mistake. Release this one. And she walks out of the gates with a testimony of God's love. Now this is somebody who has seen it all. She has seen the worst of humanity, and there she is testifying, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Praise God. These are simple truths, but I need to get them here. I need to get them to the point where they define my life, my thinking, my acting. I'm living out the reality of what God is doing in here. All right? Is that real? Is that real to you? Wouldn't it be good to say, God, make that more real? And of course, don't be surprised when he throws some difficulties in your pathway, because most of the time that's how we learn. But oh, it's worth everything. It's worth everything to plumb the depths and the height and the breadth of all that he's talking about here. All right? And to know, so the height and the depth and all of that, the love of Christ, and to know this love. And that word know is one of two different words. This is the one that talks about knowing by experience. This is not somebody who's learned something in a book and say, yeah, I know that. This is somebody who has lived it and learned it. And they know it because they've experienced it. And God wants us to experience the love in a practical sense. And the only way we're going to do that is in real life, where we need it, where that's the only answer. Where we go to heaven's bank and say, God, have you got the answer to this? Lord, I need the answer to that. I need strength I don't have. Lord, do I have enough in my account? Well, we're not the ones that stored all this wealth. Jesus put it all there. And it's enough to do everything the Father had sent him to do. And that means even bringing you and me all the way through. Praise God. All right, to know this love that does what? It surpasses knowledge, goes way beyond, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Praise God. All right? And then, of course, the scripture that gets quoted so often, now to him, there's an acknowledgement. Paul's heart is just lifted up with joy. Think about where he's sitting. He's sitting in a prison cell. He doesn't have the freedom to go and do. He's there, no doubt, deprived of a lot of things. But he says, now to him who is able. Now, you know, we struggle with our ability. But now, Lord, Paul wants to shift our attention. And of course, he's talked all about how the Lord's and what the Lord's intention is. He's called us. He's got this plan for us. Can he pull it off? Is he really able? Look at the strength of the hold that the enemy has on this world. Look at the problems of life. Look at me. Look at all of my needs and all of my weaknesses. Can he really do this? And Paul wants to shine a light and say, oh, don't worry for one second. This God we serve is able. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, way beyond anything you could ever imagine. We have enough with problems with what we do imagine, but all the stuff that is out there that we don't even imagine, God's already thought about that. He's already made provision. Don't worry. There's nothing that's going to come up that he can't handle. And based on what? How's he going to be able to do this? According to his power that is at work where? Within us. That's what I need. I don't need my power trying to work in here. I got to have a source of power that is endless. A heart that loves me, that is seeking my eternal good. I need to have one that has all the resources that God himself has. Think of the power that he exhibited just throwing this universe into existence. Incredible. But that power, and greater than that, is at work. But where do I need it? Out here telling me what to do? Alone? No, I need that in here. I need to be able to tap into that moment by moment as I need it. Is God going to be faithful? Is he able? Yeah. Where's the problem then? Yeah, unbelief is where we think and how and we get our eyes off onto the wrong thing, and we think negative thoughts, we listen to the enemy. But God wants to make it absolutely clear, if there's any hindrance, any struggle in your life, it's coming through unbelief. It's coming because of you. And I'm there with everything you have. Wake up, wake up. I've got it. Call, ask. I'm faithful. I can handle it. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all. Boy, all these words he throws in there. All we ask or imagine. According to, based on his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Well, this is one of those generations, isn't it? God is wanting to so work in us that we will basically, the Lord can shine a light on us, and the world will see his glory. Man, they're not going to find any of that in me. I mean, any of earthly glory. It's got to be his glory. Praise the Lord. So that's where I started. I don't know, how far I want to take this. I'm going to go ahead, I guess, for a little bit here, and then we'll see. Maybe someone else has something. Like I say, I got up this morning, and I was sure I didn't have anything. But anyway, Paul gets to this point where he said, here's what you are in Christ. Here's what he has made you. Here's how that is powered. This is how you live out your new identity. Okay, now let's get to the what. What does that identity look like? What is he looking for from us? And of course, you could go through a whole lot of stuff. He deals with family and ministry and you name it, how we live before the world. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you, then is a word of conclusion. In other words, because of all the stuff I've been saying up to this point, here's where we're going with it. Now, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Is there anything lacking in God's call? Is there anything lacking in his power? Anything lacking in his provision? So what he's looking for is for us to live a life that is in harmony with that, that is the actual outworking of all that he has made us. If we are his people, chosen from the foundation of the world to be holy and acceptable and to grow up to be his sons and daughters, to live with him, to be like him, there needs to be some practical outworking of that while we're here, that might grow up, okay? So he starts to talk about how that looks, what that looks like. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And this is where we start getting into qualities that are absolutely 180 degrees different from what we are naturally. Be completely humble, which we all are, of course. The root of human nature is pride. Who I am and what I can be and what I can accomplish and what people think of me. And here's Paul saying, what God wants is for us to just get our eyes off of ourselves and just be who we are and what we are. Let God make us what he wants us to be. It's not for us anyway, not to glorify us. He gives us the ability to really make him look good, because he is. We're not trying to win people to ourselves or to be something or to take his blessings and make something out of ourselves with this human pride. I need his grace to do that, though, don't I? They're going to be things all the time that are coming up in my nature. I'm going to say, wait a minute, where's that coming from? That's pride, isn't it? Oh God, here we go again. I need to dig my roots deeper. I need to reach higher into the reservoir, the riches of heaven. Lord, look at how humble Jesus was. He went to the cross, didn't open his mouth, didn't argue back, but like a sheep was led to the slaughter. You talk about somebody who became completely humbled, completely surrendered to the will of God because he knew that was the ultimate thing. That was what everything was about. The loving purpose of God is not served by our pride. It's served by a humble spirit, and we only get that from him. Jesus is not proud. And I'll tell you, when pride emanates from us in any of our actions or attitudes, it ain't coming from him. And may God help us to be more conscious of these simple things, not just try to be who God says we are, but to say, oh God, I need your power. I need you. I need more of you. I just need more of you right now because it's just not in me to be this way. Completely humble, not just humble, completely. Wow. You talk about something that's humanly impossible and gentle. Well, this is not exactly who we are, is it? There are all kinds of circumstances where our action is one of anger and strife and what's the matter with you and come on, straighten up and fly right. All these things where we're not gentle with one another. We're not considerate of one another. We're very impatient with one another. Is that how you want God to treat you? I want him to treat me with love and gentleness, and he does. But see, he wants to reproduce. He is reproducing that nature in us so that we can love one another. We can have a right spirit toward one another. And of course, then he goes from humbleness to gentleness to patience. And of course, again, we're very patient, aren't we? As long as we get it now. But patience has, as we've often said, has to do with time elements. Many times when God wants us to just stand fast and don't worry about the time element, just trust in him, rest in him, let him work things out. But there's also there's a sense of enduring. Patience in the sense of enduring, because it's not just waiting for something to happen, it's enduring something that's in opposition to us in the process. Boy, I need him, don't you? That quality just isn't in me. But what the Lord has been setting the stage for is how this happens, and it all happens because I reach into the resources of a God who loves me. And no matter how I feel when I'm going through these things, I need to remember that. This is God's love working this out. This isn't God's anger and demand and looking at me like I'm, you know, somebody terrible. He's looking at a child that he loves and longs to share himself with. Humble, gentle, patient. Bearing with one another in love. Now that brings into play the simple fact that we have this wonderful life, we have this new identity if we've truly been born into his family, but it is a family. We're not called to say, okay, I have this glorious, loving relationship with God. Let's go find a cave and just me and Jesus, we're going to ride it out. No, God has put us in relationships with all kinds of people. And guess what? They're not perfect. And Lord wants us to have a sense that we can love one another in spite of all of the things that are lacking. You know how often the illustration has been used of taking two rough stones, whatever it is, and rubbing them together, and all the rough edges get rubbed off. God wants us to learn how to be with each other If you're angry, impatient, and you're not putting up with somebody else's faults, how do you want them to treat you? Little Miss Perfect or Mr. Perfect? The reality is everybody needs to be able to look in the mirror and say, I'm a work in progress, but God loves me. And he's reproducing in me that capacity to love them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God wants us to learn how to treat one another with love. I've had a thought over the years. I don't know if I've ever expressed it. But let me do it right now. What is the golden rule, so-called golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's a pretty good, obviously that's the essence of what the kind of person what God wants us to be. If we treat somebody the way we would like them to be treated, we're doing pretty good, aren't we? It's the Lord's nature in us that's enabling us to do that. But you know, there's a flip side to that coin. You know what? We tend to get what we give. I wonder if you've ever thought about this. That how we treat other people is kind of like a prayer. Think about what I'm saying. Suppose you're about to really treat somebody badly. It's kind of like a prayer. Oh God, please watch how I treat this person. Because this is how I want people to treat me. How many of us realize that the way we treat other people is really a prayer? Otherwise, why would Jesus talk about, you know, with what measure you give, it'll be given to you? There's this sense of, I'll tell you, how many of you really want everybody else to treat you the way you treat other people? We got quiet. Gone to meddling. Absolutely. Well, that's an interesting thought, though. That's come to me many times. And the only way I can do this, I'm going to have to get this from him. It's not in me, because there are going to be circumstances that will cause me to react in a very un-Christ-like way. There are people that are going to rub me the wrong way because they're not perfect and I'm not. And I have no right to expect them to conform to to my feelings. God wants to set me free. Did Jesus run around getting angry and upset at people in that sense? He understood exactly where they were at. He reached out in mercy, didn't he? May God give us that same sense. But oh God, I need him. If there's somebody that rubs you the wrong way, you better take that to the Lord. You better start looking in the mirror and say, God, help me to treat them the way I want them to treat me, because I'm not perfect either. People are having to put up with me. Interesting thought, isn't it? Something to think about. All right? Bearing with one another in love. You got that same sense. The love is meant to be the characteristic of the relationship, where I am more focused on the well-being of the person that is the object of my love than I am in myself. And I'll tell you, if you have a company of people who are all devoted to loving one another, don't worry, you'll be loved too. God will share everything that you need, and you're going to get it from him anyway. Praise the Lord. It's not like we're going to be dumping out and never get anything. God is faithful. But oh, what a different dynamic it is from human nature that just is all about me. Do you believe God is able to pull all of this off, or is he just spouting out doctrine that we're supposed to believe with our heads? Is this something we actually are meant to live out? Oh, I pray that God will make this more real to all of us. Because this is what it begins to look like if we're actually living out this identity he's given us. All right? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, that's an interesting way to put that. He doesn't say, now, strive for the unity. As though, well, we just aren't there. We don't have unity. We got to strive. No, keep it. What the Lord is reminding us is if we are in a company of people and they have been born of the same spirit we have, there is already a unity. There is a spirit that binds us, that makes us one. When we don't experience the unity, we're denying the reality of who we are. We're allowing self to get into that. We need to keep the unity. We need to guard the unity. All right? Now, the unity of the Spirit reminds us of what it is that's part of our identity. Because, again, the world is divided into two kinds of people. Ultimately, it is. I realize that God is still reaching some. But ultimately, it's people who have been born of His Spirit or people who haven't. The unity God is looking for as part of our identity is a unity of people who share His Spirit. And they're meant to walk together. And I'll say there's a danger. We talked last week about the in crowd and the tendencies of people to sort of connect with people that they are like. You know what it means when you like somebody? You like somebody because they're like you. You share common values, common interests, common characteristics. And we tend in a natural sense to be drawn to that. And God wants us to have a unity, to build relationships because we're His. Because He lives on the inside. God help us. I'm going to go ahead and say something and just trust the Lord with this. I'm not very good at this, and I need to be the Lord's Spirit. But one of the things Paul said to Timothy and Titus, I don't remember which one this was particularly, but the sense is there in both of them. He talked about how to lead the people. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort. So sometimes there needs to be open reproof. And I'm going to say something to our young people, knowledge armed with the knowledge that we were all young once and we all know. But I'll tell you, your fellowship needs to be built not around like-minded people who share common interests and like each other, and you're a closed little bunch. I can think of at least two instances that come to mind of people, young people that have come in among us at some point in some place and basically been shunned. Am I right? Some of you know instances that I'm talking about where they have felt unwelcome. All they can do is see this group of people gathering around jibber-jabbering themselves, and they feel like they're just, I don't matter. They don't care about me. They don't even, you know, they don't even want to meet me. Don't want to have anything to do with me. I know of instances of people who do not come, who came out of it with an interest, and they're not here because they felt like they were treated that way. May God help us to build our fellowship on Him, to be like Him. Did Jesus do that? I mean, he had his disciples, but did he say, go away, don't bother me? We're busy talking about this, talking about that. Don't bother with those children. They're just getting in my way. See, he had the opposite spirit. There was always that heart that reached out to the woman at the well, to the woman taken in adultery, to Zacchaeus, a despised tax collector. May God help us. If we're really representative of His Spirit, there's going to be something in us that is sensitive when there's somebody that needs to feel like, hey, I'm glad you're here. I want you to be welcome. I want you to know I care about you. We don't have our little in crowd talking about what fun we're going to have. And I want to say this about fun. I wonder how much of the fun is Jesus welcome at? Something to think about, isn't it? Can you talk about Jesus, or is it just about fun and this and that and the other? Now, Jesus is not a fuddy-duddy who doesn't care about, you know, laughing and all of that. I don't think he means to portray himself that way. But I'll tell you, if our fellowship is just built on carnal connections, people we like because we like the same things and we're the same kind of people and personalities and all that kind of stuff, something's not right. There's a unity that is built on being in Christ, where we love one another, we care about one another. God help every one of us in this. So I believe the Lord loves, we got some precious young people. Thank God for every one of them. Lord just wants us to grow. But I want to exhort. I mean, what happens when you come to the youth camp and there's somebody who comes that's not been part of the group? And they're coming in from outside. What do you do? Well, I'm sorry, we got our fun, we got our gang, we got our fun, we're just. Is that how you want to be treated? I just pray that God will help us to be the kind of people that He can bring a seeking soul to. And they are loved, and we recognize God is reaching out, and we want to have that kind of a heart toward them. Not be so bogged down with our own little agenda and our own little connections that we don't see people in need. Well, I'll just put that out there and just pray. But you think about the unity of the Spirit. What is our fellowship built on? It's got to be built on Christ. That's the basis of our connection. Now, you know, if somebody comes in and they're trying to drag you off to the bars or something like that, that's another story. But I mean, if there's somebody who's coming in here, I want to see what this is about. Maybe I need the Lord. Maybe this, or maybe I need something. God, help us to open our hearts to them. I believe for the most part we do exactly that. And I thank God. But I pray that God will deliver us from anything that resembles this carnal kind of connection that we tend to build. It is kind of quiet, isn't it? Am I telling you the truth? Praise the Lord. I don't believe that's in an angry or just a, there's a bit of a grieving in God's heart, because His heart is one of love. He longs to so be real in this place that He could bring somebody who doesn't fit in with our crowd. Maybe they're really different. I mean, suppose some transgender individual came in here because God had been working in their hearts. Do we have enough love to see past all of the exterior, or past somebody that isn't like us, isn't part of our little, you know, what we think of somebody, you know, we want to be around? May God help us, every single one, to have His heart. Praise God. So He says, make every effort. Well, the fact that He says make every effort tells us it's not just something that happens naturally. There are going to be situations where we're going to have to say, Lord, I need help here. This does not come naturally to me, but I know what You want from me. Oh, God, help me, be in me all that I need in this circumstance. Is God going to be faithful? You better believe He is. But you think of the power of unity. I'll tell you, if there's somebody that you're not one with right here, and there's something between you, you need to get it right. You don't just need to let it fester. You need to go, and you need to make every effort to establish the open channels of spiritual life and love and unity. And you might want to realize, if there's a problem, might be in you, or might be at least partly in you. The devil's going to do everything he can in his power to destroy the relationships that God means for those who have been brought into this new identity to experience. That's a long sentence. Hopefully that makes sense. But anyway, God has this company of people where He lives. It's a house He's building. He wants to live here in a way that can touch people's hearts. Think about what the church was in the beginning. There was a presence of God. There was a power. There was a perfect unity. There was a love for those in need. There was just everything was right. God did that. It was a special power from God that made that happen as a testimony to the nation. But think about the testimony of what power there is when people are one. I need Him. But I can't just say, well, if they'll just get right, everything will be okay. That's not where it starts. It starts with, Lord, fill me, make me more like you, and help me in my relationships, in my attitudes, in my actions to reflect that and to pray one for another, because I know they're just like me. They got needs. And I don't need to be critical of their needs. I need to love them. I need to treat them the way you treat me. Praise God. Don't we have an awesome Lord? All right, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. And then he really goes into another subject. I'm not going to try to go forward with any of that. I didn't think I was going to go anywhere near this long. Well, praise God. I hope if somebody else has something, I'd like for you to feel free to share. I was very willing to sit there and listen this morning, but I guess the Lord had other ideas. But anyway, what a reservoir of divine love that we have. There's a bank in heaven with an inexhaustible source. And what we are called to tap into is not greater and greater demands upon our, upon us, as though the law of Moses is just looming over us. Oh, God, I'm trying so hard to be what you want me to be. I'm tapping into the love that powers me. It gives me a resource on the inside so I don't have to live under the constraints of this old nature. I can say no. I can say, Lord, you have made me a brand new person, and I can live like that in a practical day-by-day sense. And when I feel needs that press me and pull me in the wrong direction, I've always got a place to go. Even when I've messed up, Lord, I can come, I can bring that, lay it at your feet, be honest. And I know that you will clean me up and pick me up and give me the strength I need to put one foot in front of another and keep going. And even when I get to the place where somebody has messed up so much that I struggle to forgive them, you can help me to remember that, Lord, first of all, I need to be forgiven. But you can give me the power to forgive. You can give me the power to love. How is it that we love? He calls upon us to love one another. How do we do that? Because he first loved us. See, he puts love in. That gives us the power to send love out. This isn't just an act we put on. This is real. God wants real life. There's a balance in the kingdom of God between spirit and truth. I need the truth. I need the right words, but I need the power and the spirit to go with it, to put that into action. And I believe God has given us everything that we need to live out the identity that he has, of all that he has given us and all that he has made us in Christ. If you're not one that's got that identity, you cry out to him, because he'll listen if you really want him with all your hearts. That's his promise. You will find me, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with how much of your heart? All of it. There has to be, this is the one thing that matters in all of my life. I need you, Lord. Praise God. I'll tell you, God is so faithful. Praise the Lord.